Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this final hour on this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report Friday. This segment, we are joined by Trey Smith, his website, godinanutshell.com. And folks, subscribe to his YouTube channel, that is Trey Smith. The God in a Nutshell project was founded by Trey Smith. It's a documentary-style news and information source, and it deals with a number of interesting topics from world news, Israel, the ancient past, discoveries, science, and prophecy. He's got a number of fantastic videos and presentations on there, and this guy knows how to capture an audience. Trey, we have you for the next roughly 25 minutes. I'm going to turn this over to you, and I want you to hit on and give the audience a message of what you think is the most important as we move through this next time period from the elections. We've heard talk that there could be, you know, civil unrest if Donald Trump wins, also if Hillary wins, the possibility of an economic collapse if Donald Trump wins. And at the same time, we know that we have our Lord and Savior, and we should not be filled with a spirit of fear. Instead, we should understand what's coming based on what the scriptures say and be prepared for it spiritually more so than any other type of preparation. Where would you like to start in this segment?
Well, I can't emphasize enough that there. I talked to so many Christians during the time that first of all, that Trump prophecy video that went up, and that thing has several million views on it. And I don't think that's just because it's got a wonderful title or something. You know, it's my belief on this end of the phone that the Lord guides these things. That being stated, and that's just my view on it, but the on that particular thing, I started putting that together when there were, I think there were 15 guys or 17 people, 15 people, something like that. There was a whole cast of them. I can't remember how many there were. And the medias were continuously running it. You know, I mean, this was a big joke that this man, Donald Trump, this was their view. That was not what I was hearing. Now I started putting that together when not long after he announced that he was going to win, and I sort of put that together little by little. That tape actually got released 2 days after the first debate, so that tape up there, and it was at the last minute, guys. I'm telling you, that thing was uploaded. One of the last things it lets you do. Well, they're on YouTube, so you upload the thing. And then you put your title in there. And I had a completely different title in mind. It was just going to say Trump prophecy or something like this. But it was at that, I was about to type that, and that's even what I had told people I was going to call it. But right when I just typed in Trump, the coming landslide. And I just felt so comfortable in my spirit about that, but that comfort was largely in part due to the fact that I had just heard this so much, and so many elements that are, and that's the thing, you can go watch in its entirety for free. I mean, that's not a, in fact, most of the God in the Nutshell stuff, I would note that for, very much for the record, for, you know, when you're looking at something like the entities thing, or you know, Jurassic, or some of these other things, the key elements we're not going to hide. There's nothing that's going to concern your salvation that, you know, we're going to charge you for. You want to see some extra weird stuff, or some where the really weird skulls are, or the, you know, this kind of thing, then, you know, from our view, you can figure out how to, you know, how to come up with $20 for the, honestly though, we give a lot of this stuff away. I can't think of, there's nothing ever going to be about your salvation or something, as important as what, you know, I felt, and I think a lot of other people felt about this Trump thing. We wanted that entire thing to be up there where you could just get to it. And it's also not just littered with ads either. You'll notice that about our stuff as well. It's some of this, you, you go onto YouTube or these other sites, and it's just, you know, there's an ad at the beginning, you know, it's not just every 5 minutes. There's, with that Trump video, you can sit back on your couch and not worry about a second Nike ad or something like that popping up. It is taking you through many, many of prophecies from Christians, and some of them Christians that are important. In fact, Tim Clement, and this is a man that's sort of like Trump. You'll find that the Christians will badmouth you quicker than the atheists will.
Amen to that.
They just do. I think some of that is, I won't get into that, but there's a lot of bad-mouthing each other in Christianity because this one wasn't perfect enough, or that one wasn't perfect enough, or this one screwed up here. These people are not Jesus. They are people that are trying to listen to the Lord. And I felt like I was supposed to honor Tim Clement. I felt that stronger than I felt anything about making a video for Trump. That was what I really felt from the Lord. And it just so happened that the prophecy tape that I had from Tim Clement revolved around, or appeared to revolve around this man, Donald Trump. And I also found it fascinating some things that were going on in Tim Clement's life at exactly that time. This man suffered he had a stroke, and this is about a year and a half ago, something like this. Now at this point, he had a stroke. And I began to look at this, and right before he had that stroke was when he gave this particular prophecy. But also during the time of this particular prophecy, you find Tim Clement having these conversations with men like Chuck Missler, like where he's expressing that he's, you know, I've always loved the Lord so much. And you can see that with Kim going all the way back to the beginning of his ministry, but questioning some of the theological things that he had believed. And looking at the Sun's blog site, which is a little harder to find, there was a portion on there where the Sun wrote, and this isn't on the official site, this is on the Sun's pages. I believe. And he says that Kim, if I remember correctly, had told him a date, and Kim was crying, and that the Lord wasn't going to let him speak again for a while on a date. And when that date came, it got worse. And now, at the point we're having this call, it's my understanding that he's having a recovery that is incredible, and I just truly felt I'm not going to go further on Tim Clement at this moment in this call, but I will share this with you. There's some things I'd like to share later, but I really felt like the Lord told me to honor this man. And that just so happened to also include supporting who I believe will become the next president of the United States, Donald Trump. And I would tell Christians, yes, he's imperfect. Yes, I'm imperfect. Now, the guys that I'm doing the interview with right now, Joe and the Hagmans, they're not, but I'm talking about the rest of us, are imperfect. But people that are seeking the Lord, yes, the Lord would have you fight for your freedoms. This country was founded by imperfect Christians with a lot of occult guys in here, too. There were a lot of occult guys. You're going to find plenty of that. The occult guys are always there.
Oh, yeah.
There's always a snake in the garden. Even back in the garden, there was a snake in the garden. So yes, the occult people were here, but this nation was founded, and I'll be wearing red on the day I go out and vote. And I would ask you to wear red too. And that's not for Republican in my case. That might be what it stands for, but I'm wearing red because that's the color of the blood of the Christians who laid down their lives so that we could have these freedoms that they are asking us to give away for free. And I, for one, cannot give away for free what other people were willing to die for. So I will be out there, and I'll be wearing a red shirt that day. And there's quite a few things people can do to monitor these exit polls, and you can expect all sorts of shenanigans. You're in the hour of shenanigans, and darkness is desperate, like a trapped animal. And that applies even if Hillary were to win. It's still a trapped animal. Its end is at hand. The end of darkness is at hand. Of course, it's going to be vicious. And Hillary Clinton's in this world a dime a dozen. She's an occultic old lady that hates everybody. She doesn't even know what she would do with it if she did win. That's the funny thing about evil people. They have no joy. They look like the life is sucked out of them. I mean, look at pictures of Bill and Hillary. They look like the Crypt Keepers. And the why?
I mean, well, is that demonic or?
Well, you know, look, evil people. Well, yeah. I mean, it's a spirit working through them, but they don't. I mean, how can they possibly look? I've never met any wicked person that's happy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's the strength, the joy. As Christians, we forget that, and that applies even if Hillary wins. Look, man, we're just passers through this place. If Hillary were to get the runner for a minute, so be it. I mean, that's the best it'll ever get for her. But she's not even going to get that. Let me share one other thing with you. Do we have time for it?
We do. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. So here's the deal. Here's the thing. Is that another reason I don't think Hillary is going to become president? Is that she already asked this before the Lord before, and he said no to her. Now, when Bill first became president, it's my understanding he went and he prayed with one of the law. I can't remember if it was Bill Graham or who was one of the big name guys. And he was concerned about, as I understand it, sex issues out there in Arkansas. Big shock with Bill, huh? Well, the Lord had told him, you're going to become president, but you are to defend Israel. Well, now, Bill probably would have done that because he's just a good old boy from Arkansas that was probably thrilled to death to be there. But Hillary, you got Ahab and Jezebel, and you got, Jezebel back there, anybody that remembers those years just remembers that she was terrifying. That's why Bill looks bad, is because he's married to Hillary. I feel bad for Bill. I tell you what, I hope Bill makes it to heaven because he's already endured. I mean, he's going to live with Hillary. She gets in some kind of a beef with Netanyahu, who was then the prime minister of Israel, I think, was his role at that point. So what she decides is to use U.S. tax dollars to fight Netanyahu being reelected in Israel. What she decides she's going to do is use your tax dollars. Why she's doing that anyway, I don't know, but this is what she decided to do. Well, so then Netanyahu does lose. Now, guess what the name of the guy was that they funded to run against him? You'll never guess. That guy's name was Barack.
Okay. Now, Ehud Barack.
Netanyahu is now restored in Israel. He's now the president of Israel. And Hillary Clinton, when she ran for president, she would have been a shoo-in because people were the media that had done a great job, and Bush certainly did himself no favors. They were definitely going to vote Democrat, and it would have been Hillary had this senator that nobody knew come right out of thin air. Imagine Hillary Clinton's shock that she got beat out of her life dream the first time by a no-name senator named Barack. No, sir. I don't think it's in the cards for Hillary Clinton to become president.
Interesting. Interesting.
And I think she already asked the Lord this once, and he said no to her. She's like the she's like the stray dog that just keeps coming back. And then it tries to bite your hand if you try and feed it.
Yeah. Wow. What about her? I got to ask you this, and I apologize, but I want to get a lot in before you have to cut you loose. What about her health issues? I'm sure. Well, I know you've been covering that. You know, when they push her in the van there, you know, in 9/11, that she had her issues, and what's going on with her health? And
oh man, who knows? I mean, it's an old woman full of demons. I mean, I mean, she shouldn't be there to begin with, but you know, there's just another of the list of. You're gonna elect a lady that can't get in the van on her own.
Yeah, that's true.
And what's even more fascinating is the other people don't grab her terribly fast, and that's because any report that comes from, even when the Clintons were back in the White House, you know, she has no respect for black people. You want to talk about racist remarks? Type Hillary Clinton in with any of that stuff. I mean, she just littered with this. She treats the people that are trying to help her poorly. And that probably plays a role in why they don't grab hold of her real fast when she's wobbling her way to the van, the lady that wants to be the wobbly woman that can't get in the van on her own and wants to cuss and spit at you and go summon who's the spirit of Eleanor, I suppose, if I'm understanding her properly, and hates all Americans. And it's got Russia pushed the limit with a threatening nuclear war. Whatever it is that, you know, they don't want the creepy old woman in there, the crypt keeper. They don't want her so bad that they're actually stating she's worried about global warming. They're explaining it will be globally warmed, apparently, if she gets in there. So, I mean, what is it about kooky old lady Hillary that has got the Russians thinking if she's there, the only solution is to point weapons the direction of the country she's in?
I mean, very interesting.
This is just stupid. That the entire thing is, I tell you what, guys, this is, I mean, the way I would want to end the show and go out is just to say, we're praying for a parting of the Red Seas. And God has a sense for the dramatic. He's just cool like that. He's, you know, he's fly. I mean, if Trump were ahead in all the polls and all this other stuff, you would expect it, you know? There's something about the struggle and the worry and the concern and all of these other things, and will it happen? God, he's got a sense for the dramatic. You've got a David and Goliath fight. You've got a David and Goliath fight, and Goliath is always going to look real big. He's going to look big and scary and mean, and he really does want to take your head off. And so do the Philistines behind him. Now, David, when he saw, let's take David for example, because David's one of those guys that God should have never used, because, you know, David slept with a man's wife and basically murdered the husband, had him put on. And same thing with Samson. He fell for all Delilah's tricks. And let us not forget Abraham, the father of faith, who lied not once but twice, amongst other things. And pretty much everybody in your entire Bible, actually, except for Daniel. Nothing bad is mentioned about Daniel. But in the case of David, what David could have done, and what I'm sort of hearing out of a lot of Christians, David could have easily looked at Saul and thought to himself, you know, that's just not a king that's perfect. I'm certainly not going to back that guy or go out of my way at doing the effort because he's there. Or David could have looked at the army. You know, that's an imperfect army. You know, I think there were probably even some guys in there that a while back used some foul language at some point. You know what the largest problem with the army was, though?
No, what's that?
They were cowards.
Hmm.
David went out there before the giant, but they would not become cowards in the end. The Philistines ran from that Israeli. Requires a break and an awakening within the church, and that's what many voices, including you guys on this Hagman and Hagman, which all of us are crying out for, an awakening.
Yes.
An awakening, yes, from the lies. Even the atheist wants that.
Yes.
He doesn't know what he wants, but the Lord is calling for all of us. Open your eyes, O sleeper. What David knew is that you had a giant that was cursing and mocking at the Lord God. And that's all David saw. And we know the rest of that story and how it ended. And the poll numbers look real bad, I assure you.
Yes.
So, but God's got a sense for the dramatic, and I believe that there's a sigh of relief coming, and that comes with it its own burdens as well, because really, in a sense, that's a larger test, which is part of the reason that I believe the Lord is doing it.
The smaller test is actually
Hillary, because if you got Hillary, everybody would take, they used to have an old Simpsons cartoon, I think it was, where the world was going to end, and suddenly everybody from the bar ran into the church, and all the people from the church ran into the bar. But the Christians tend to do the most under suffering, under oppression. When the Hillary Clintons come in and the Belshazzars and we're going to oppress you, we're taking your rights away, everybody gets real serious. It's when the prosper comes, and the Lord's intent, just like a good father, he wants to give you the thing that'll get the kid wants to. He wants every good gift is from the Father above, and we have a choice how to use it. If we get something good, we tend to do the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the wrong thing is to say, oh, thank goodness that threat is gone. Let's go back to our evil ways. I had someone important to me point this out the other day. You know, you were praying real hard beforehand, and this was about a completely separate issue. You're praying to the Lord real hard beforehand, and then when you got what you asked for, you were relieved, and you didn't say thank you as hard as you prayed to get it. And so when the Lord talks about a bride and a remnant, I think it's important that beforehand, the nervousness that we have and the uncertainty, and Lord, will you really pull through for us? When he gives this to us, which I'm pretty fairly certain he's going to, the largest challenge is to continue to say, Lord, I want a relationship with you, and I just want to walk right out of this place into glory, and I want to be a good servant, whether the hours are good or whether they're dark. And ahead, you've got both coming.
Yes.
So that's my opinion on that.
My brother, you've actually thank you for extending your time with us. We were actually at the bottom of the hour, and we just thank you for your graciousness and for your gift of time, and to share the microphone with a man of your popularity on YouTube and on the internet. It's been an honor, I must say, Trey Smith. We do hope that after the election sometime you can come back and join us and give us your thoughts, and we'll have something perhaps different to talk about or expand upon what you already have. And maybe we can even get into your DVD on the Book of Enoch as well. I love that DVD, and I'll be ordering that this weekend. But
I tell you what, thank you guys. Guys, the honor is on this end, and we're all just people here, and I think and I'd love to do that. That sounds wonderful. But we're in an important time, and I really feel strongly that we very much did the right thing on this show and focusing on this is serious. So
indeed.
it demands attention.
Amen, brother. Amen. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. GodInANutshell.com, Trey Smith. Thank you, sir, so much for your time. We're going to cut the break, and God bless you. And you, again, just again, thank you so much for your gift of time. Folks, that was Trey Smith. You know him, of course, a familiar voice on the internet, on the radio. What a great guy. What an interesting guy, too. Interesting perspectives. And he said something moments ago. You know, you pray hard to get something. Do you think is hard? Do you think God is hard after you receive it, perhaps? That's interesting. Interesting. You know it inherently, but when you hear it, it just reminds you. Again, Trey Smith, GodInANutshell.com. His post on his Facebook. Let him know you heard him on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Give him a boost up. We like to do that with our guests. Give him a boost up, and certainly check out all of his DVDs and his postings on his website, GodInANutshell.com. But Trey Smith, God in a Nutshell, on Facebook. Let him know you heard. He's got a posting about our show. Let him know you heard him. You heard him on our show. Let him know you appreciate his time. Because we certainly do. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report. Going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. More after this. Welcome back, folks, to the final segment of the Hagman and Hagman Report on this week. What a week it was. I want to thank each and every one of you for your support and for listening to us. You know, your gift of time to us is important as well. We often thank and always thank our guests, but, you know, you invest 3 hours of your time every weeknight or whatever you manage to eke out. And we thank you for joining us, and thank you for staying with us, and thank you for listening to us. And I want to thank Sandra H. For your generous contribution to the Hagman and Hagman Report. And I want to thank each and every one of you who have helped support us. And as I said, we're a listener-supported show. We do have advertisers. We do. But we're really trying to grow. And this is such a time. We've got a million things we want to do. Now, that's an overstatement, of course. We've got a whole bunch of things we want to do, and a lot of people we want to help, and a lot of initiatives we want to start, work on, and complete. We have so many things. And of course, central to that is the biblical worldview in which we want to get better at. We want to not only get better at, but have the opportunities to have better penetration among other countries or with other countries and with other people. And it was just so blown away, too, and I'll move on after this. But I've heard from people by mail who sent mail. And I'm going to start bringing, and I've decided this, I'm going to start bringing some of the mail that we get to the studio. I'm going to bring it in into the studio or to the office into the studio here. And referencing it on air, because some of the comments is so gracious, each and every one of you, and we read every piece of mail, we read every email. We can't respond to everything, but many people, for example, said, hey, can you have Trey Smith on? Here we go. And we've got a number of others who have asked for specific people on, and we're doing our best to get that. And that leads me to thank John Robertson one more time for his efforts, and JD for his efforts as well. Everybody that really makes up the Hagman and Hagman Report, thank you from the bottom of my heart and from the bottom of the lady's heart as well. I want to mention, too, Maria Canice, her book, Prepare for Persecution. Now, she didn't ask me to do this at all. Maria Canice is such a wonderful lady. She has refined her book, Prepare for Persecution. And she doesn't make much. I mean, she does not make much. No. I just loved if everyone could, get a copy of her book, Prepare for Persecution. If you already own one, get another one, and or maybe give it away as a Christmas gift. I'd like to see her book soar. Really, I really would. Plus, it would give her some much needed financial relief as well. And that's Prepare for Persecution, Maria Kanise. She's just such a dear lady and such a warm lady. And lastly, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to Global Star Radio Network. Thank you so much for everything you do. You are so much appreciated by our staff and by everyone here. And CanadaFreePress.com, thank you for what you do. Judy and Mark now heading up the audio-video section of Canada Free Press and Canada Free Press Radio. So thank you as well, folks. And if you haven't done so already, or haven't done so, don't forget, on CanadaFreePress.com, I've got two articles, one about the Pentagon Papers and the WikiLeaks. That's one article. And the second article is about the, and it's at the top of the page, and that's about the WikiLeaks Assange Clinton connection. If you can see to it to just comment on that. I mean, if not, that's fine, but if you can't see to it. And I think I have that posted on my personal Facebook page, too, if you can share that as well, because the exposure, it needs exposure. And the good folks at Reddit, so, some of those posters, my goodness, they're investigators. You know, I mean, seriously, man. They've
taken and filled in the jobs of the mainstream media journalist or so-called journalist.
Move over Comey.
As the citizens of this country who are paying attention and engaged on the internet have become the true investigative journalist. Now, before we move on, I want to make sure I hit this one piece of news.
Sure.
As it is important, it's something that happened 2 days ago. It's been overlooked, and it's something that hopefully I'll have a article up by the weekend or Monday at the latest, as I have putting a few articles together in the last week, and a few of those are on the website. But this went right under our noses. Updating our plan to counter violent extremism at home. On October 19th, Wednesday, the administration issued new strategic guidelines on federal efforts to counter violent extremism at home.
Yep.
The plan incorporates many lessons learned over years from working hand-in-hand with local communities and lays the groundwork for years to come. The strategic implementation plan to empower local partners and to prevent violent extremism in the United States is an 18-page PDF that lays out the plan to help ensure that our nation remains vigilant in preparing and preventing terrorists from recruiting and radicalization, and radicalizing Americans to violence. They go on to talk about over the past several years, they've seen the threat of violent extremism evolve from ISIS attempting to inspire violence, and through the internet and social media being the number one tool for radicalization. So what they've done, in 2016 in January, they put together the Counter Violent Extremism Task Force to harmonize the domestic efforts and ensure an integrated public health, education, and other disciplined approach. They've partnered with local communities and are conducting productive diagnostics with tech companies on how to address terrorist activities online. Now, when they say continuing with local communities for productive dialogues and teaming up with tech companies on how to address terrorist activities online, they're talking about pre-crime. They also go on to cite that they've taken more proactive measures against terrorist actors by suspending accounts associated with enacting a zero-tolerance policies for terrorist activities on their platform, although they don't define what constitutes terrorist activities.
That's you and I, people.
Outlined in the plan, they focus on four primary areas: research and analysis. They say the U.S. government plans to prevent violent extremism from rigorous, enhanced, evidence-based research and analysis, fully federal-funded research. They say shed lights on many topics, and the further research will allow advance in this program. Two, engagement and technical assistance. By building trust with a wide range of communities and stakeholders, they say that this has allowed them to tackle the concern of violent extremism together and move forward, finding new ways to support local partners. Number three, interventions. Communities across the country continue to develop intervention approaches. The federal government will aim to support these efforts when requested and if appropriate. And finally, communications and the digital strategy. The White House will continue to take steps in various ways to address violent extremists' use online of online platforms to promote violence. They're also committed to communicating with stakeholders to ensure that they understand the full range of federal resources available to them. Now, there are a few documents. One from October 2016, Strategic Implementation Plan for Empowering Local Partners to Prevent Violent Extremism in the United States. They also have a cybersecurity document, as well as you can go back and look at these different strategic implementation plans from 2013, 2014, 15, and 2016. They also update it by month. Now, this is just one document or strategy from one agency attempting to further preventing violent extremism. Now, I've read this PDF once, and I've been going back through it to highlight what's important. You know, what's interesting to point out that they do mention in here about violent extremism is how the technical aspect of online, about online, and how the internet has allowed terrorists and violent extremists to espouse narratives of an us against them individual exclusion attitude. And they say that they can intervene in this type of hostile relationships with the government and work on public discourse to change the us versus them narrative. They're going to aim to decrease exclusion and isolation, including encouraging civic engagement, empower potential partners, and demonstrate inclusive communities as the strongest front against violent extremism. They also talk about how they're, as I said, they're going to adopt specific needs for online indicators as people become radicalized, in their own words. And the local partnerships that they're going to continue to build community partnerships with local, state, law enforcement, and other agencies. They're going to support design implementation of these local frameworks from the DHS to DOJ, being involved in your local government and local jurisdictions.
It's a federalization of localized and municipal and state police forces.
They're going to continue to integrate and build off of existing programs and partnerships as appropriate, like the See Something, Say Something program.
Stranger danger.
Yeah. And they're going to increase their internet presence, infiltrating and monitoring online content in all areas of the internet, whether it's news, whether it's sports. They're going to make sure that nothing is left out. They want to, they basically state that they have jurisdiction over everything. It also includes, and this is what's interesting, they're going to, through the collaboration of the task force on the technical side, they're going to basically make lists of people that they will then target for a follow-up. They're going to call these people at-risk individuals. And they say that what they're going to do is collaborate with local law enforcement and other sectors of society that deal with these kind of things, caseworkers, municipalities. But they're going to have a preemptive approach when they see self-destructive behaviors and other mental and behavioral health red flags through faith-based partnerships and other non-governmental organizations. Basically, the community working as a whole to tell on each other if you don't like the way somebody's acting in a certain day or their mood.
And soon that's coming to a globalization.
And right, this is a very vague...
That is... But that's the United States.
And not only that, they go on to talk here about developing the process of disengaging the targeted individual from society for rehabilitation programs and purposes by the criminal justice sector, even though no crimes may be committed.
You know, this is getting too, as well, this is getting into the hate speech and the criminality of speech. Now, I just want to interject something here because this kind of is a nice segue into this. In the Netherlands last month, no, I don't know how many people are aware of this. There's a woman by the name of Rafi. Let me see here. I'm going to get this correct, the name as well as the first and last name.
Well, you're looking at
Rafi Chohan. She stood trial for statements she made during a speech she gave at a demonstration back in 2015 in the Netherlands. Here's what's happening right here. What Joe just mentioned, the pre-crime, the pre-thought crime, the organization, the federalization of the municipal agencies, as well as the see something, say something, and let's rally people together, is the globalization. It's a globalization process that will bring, for example, European laws into the United States. I know it sounds weird, but this is opening the doors for things like what happened to this Rafi Chohan, who made a speech back in November 2015 in the Netherlands and simply said, well, she gave a 15-minute speech, but some of her offending remarks were, the Islamization of the Netherlands has already begun, supported by the Dutch government and the EU. Okay, that was hate speech, according to the Netherlands. And there's several more. I'm not going to get into all of them. Without Islam, the Netherlands would be a fantastic country, and so on. All right, the massive inbreeding in the Islamic culture inflicts irreparable damage on Muslims. Now, that statement was not used against her, but others similar were. The bottom line is she was fined £800. She's not a rich woman. But see, that I guess the reason I wanted to bring it up right now is that is coming to this country. In Canada, it's actually illegal to make certain statements, hate speech, under the hate speech laws. You can be civilly fined. We are located in the United States, so we are, when we're heard in Canada or the Netherlands, we're not necessarily subject to the laws of that country, and we are heard in the Netherlands. So we've got some insulation there. But if I were to go, or Joe were to go to the Netherlands, give a speech, we could be fined as this woman was and found guilty and then made to pay a fine, made to pay a fine. This is what that paper, that even though it's a domestic paper, it is grabbing on to the, latching on to the globalist ideology that is of the Clintons, it's of the Soros and the Kissingers and even the Bushes to bring us all under this global governance. And as Joe mentioned, hate speech, pre-crime, there it is.
Yeah.
This is what we're facing. Go ahead, sir.
And one of the last things I want to talk about as I skim through this, the two things. One, it is not just a domestic partnership, a federal partnership. It is also an international partnership, and that they're going to use a digital knowledge base along with, you know, not only the Department of State and the White House, but other both domestic and international organizations, including those within the private sector and the media, through integrating technology solutions. They want to develop and implement a coordinated communications and media strategy regarding countering violent extremism. They talk about being able to use communications and the media to ensure the U.S. government has a mutually supportive voice, and that they're going to, they say in one of these objectives, they're going to engage university students and allow them to earn an academic credit by creating narratives on social media that challenge violent extremist recruitment. So basically, they're going to allow people to create false narratives in order to counter the violent extremism recruitment. And at the same time, I bet people who respond to those created narratives will be put on some kind of list. And basically, this just expands on what we already knew was in place. But the one takeaway from this that I've seen just from skimming through it is the expansion of the of this plan into all aspects of our society. Public-private partnerships, local businesses, you know, agencies within the government, from the IRS, Department of Agriculture, just every and anywhere you are that's a government office, even the DMV, if they see or suspect something suspicious, they can involve this countering violent extremism task force or a post on social media. And then you never know who might be at your door when you hear it knocking.
And that's coming.
That one other thing I wanted to make sure I talked about, and I really didn't want to mention this.
No, so now we're going to mention
it. It's just kind of out there. But the huge deal that was made about the leaked Donald Trump tape, locker room talk tape.
Why didn't you want to mention that?
Well, I didn't want to mention this. Did you see what Madonna...
Yes. Oh, yes, 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 yes. And is that illegal or what?
Madonna has offered oral sex for anybody who votes for Hillary Clinton. And excuse my language and the topic matter here.
Yeah.
Madonna made an offer on Monday night pledging to give oral sex to people who voted for presidential candidate Hillary Clinton.
You know, I gotta tell you, I wouldn't even take that offer. Yeah.
But unfortunately, for those who were hoping to take the offer, if there were those out there who wanted to take her up on this offer, it is illegal because under U.S. law, U.S. code bars the exchange of payments for a vote under Title 7. Under Title 52 of the U.S. code, it says that you shall be fined, or imprisoned for changing, money, goods, or services in order to get,
Look, it's just patently ridiculous. So, look, it's obviously illegal, but number one,
it's illegal to exchange anything of value for a vote.
But here's the point from this.
But listen,
wait a second. Wait. Here's the point from this. You got to be kidding me. The smut, the absolute crusty smut perversion from the Democratic Socialist left.
Right, because that's okay.
This is exhibit A. Okay.
But a 16-year-old or 11-year-old tape about Donald Trump talking derogatory in a sexual context about women is just so bad that the First Lady, you know, can't stop shaking uncontrollably and crying as she invites rappers to the White House that same day.
I'm going to have to find my safe space after hearing that, after hearing Madonna's thing.
I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable, the hypocrisy. And it's only going to continue to get worse as we are so close to the election. Even Joe Biden said how he wants to
punch him out. Yeah, have a fist
beat up Trump. I wish I could take Trump behind the gym and beat him up. You know, but this is okay.
I'm sure that is right.
Yeah, it's okay coming from the left. It's terrible. It is, just absolutely absurd coming from Donald Trump. Now, one interesting thing I saw, I posted this on the website. There was a good exchange on Morning Joe's, on MSNBC's Morning Joe's, between Joe Scarborough. Oh, as Joe Scarborough lashed out at the media defending Trump's refusal to say whether he'd accept election results. The video is on HagmanReport.com. MSNBC co-host Joe Scarborough broke the anti-Trump ranks as he defended the candidate as other panelists started to twist Trump's statements. One tactic commonly used in the field of influence operations is using the mass media as an instrument of war against unwitting citizens. I took a quote from General Douglas MacArthur. One cannot wage war under present conditions without the support of public opinion, which is tremendously molded by the press and other forms of propaganda. Now, what was the big deal? The panel of Morning Joe, Mika Brzezinski, and guest co-host Willie Geist, Harold Ford Jr., were all on there. Donald Trump, during the election, or during the debate, was asked the question if the election turned out to be in Hillary's favor, would Donald Trump consent? He said, I would have to look at it first. I would have to look at the results and the information before I offered my consent. Which, there's nothing wrong with that statement. He didn't say, no, I'm not going to accept a loss because, you know, I'm a brat.
What the hell is he going to do? What is anybody going to do about it anyway?
What the panel here at MSNBC said, and Joe Scarborough stood up for Trump, is they were arguing about, will Donald Trump not respect the election results? And the panel was saying, yes, that's what he said. And Joe Scarborough jumped in and stated, that's not what he said, nor is that what he means. He goes on to say, I love what everybody's saying. I woke up to these screaming headlines. Donald Trump will not respect election results. And Scarborough goes on to say, no, he actually said, I will look at it at the time and I will see. And we see this as a, this is a pattern of behavior that we see with the left and with the media that is against Trump. They will take something he says completely out of context to the point where if you didn't see it or hear it for yourself, the actual quote's unrecognizable and you'll never know what he really said. I bet half the people out there who only listen to mainstream media actually think that Donald Trump said he would not consent the election if he lost, which is absolutely untrue. He just said he would have to take a look at it before he made any decision. But this is a pattern of behavior that continues with just about every subject and issue that Donald Trump talks about and gets into. And
yep.
It's just, I mean, it's refreshing to see at least one person coming out and, you know, saying something, similar to the truth. But, you know, it is, just common in this day and age to see, as we know, the media's in the bag for Hillary Clinton, and they will take anything Trump says and spin it to make it look, you know, worse than anything he ever intended in the first place. And, you know, the WikiLeaks emails.
Yep.
How many times can Hillary Clinton be proven a liar before it puts a dent into her credibility as running for president?
Again, we have connected the WikiLeaks, the assailing accusations against Assange, the WikiLeaks man, to the Clinton camp, to Podesta himself. If you follow the breadcrumbs, there you go. One last thing before we cut loose.
Oh, wow.
Jay Johnson vowed that our borders would not be open to illegal immigrants. Obama. Yeah, right. Of course. Now, how about this? 52,147 minors were released so far. Well, in fiscal year 2016, 52,147. You know where they were placed? They were placed with, the majority of them were replaced with the illegal families that were already here in the first place. So not only did we place 52,147 minors that should have been deported, we placed them with family members that were here illegally anyway, when we should have grabbed a whole lot of them and sent them across the border. And a lot of them were other than Mexican. 5,203 young or minors were released from Homeland Security in September alone. I'm sorry, that would be, yes, we're released in September alone. Now, the 53,000 kids in 2014 as well.
So. And the immigration crisis in Europe has continued to reach a fever pitch. A 90-year-old grandmother was raped by a 17-year-old immigrant in Sweden, or I'm sorry, in Germany 2 days ago.
Wait, what was the immigrant? Was he Muslim?
Yes, of course. And a 13-year-old girl was gang raped, who was in a wheelchair, was gang raped by seven immigrants. Oktoberfest in Germany had the lowest attendance in decades, because of the constant groping and threat of sexual assaults by Muslims. Now, in the debates, they mentioned this with between Trump and Clinton, but one thing we can't stress enough. Obama's already brought over 16,000 Syrian refugees into this country this year alone.
Yep.
Hillary Clinton wants to
That's just on the records. You're talking
that's on
10
the records.
Times more. According to numbers, USA, I believe it is 10 times more.
And Hillary Clinton wants to increase that by 550%. 110,000 in the first year.
Which means a million.
And this has done nothing but ruin Germany's economy, ruin their job market, and all of Europe, really. And look at, I mean, the women can't even go outside for fear of being raped. And this is coming to America. Folks, I want to thank each and every one of you for a great week. We had Carl Gallup's on this week. We had Dinesh D'Souza. Stan Bales came back.
Yes.
We just had Trey Smith on. Next week, we got Ted Brewer. We got just a great schedule lined up for you for the next 3-4 weeks as we run up to Election Day. Thank each and every one of you. Have a great weekend. If anything happens, we will be here live. Otherwise, I'll see you Sunday night on Dave Hodges' The Common Sense Show at 8 o'clock. Have a good night. Thank you.